last night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Fuck. I don't know the words. Moving I'm bad on. With... There it is. And then it... How does it start?
That sounds like... Dum, 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 dum. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Two different genres of music. But let's be honest. Most of the Eurythmics songs sound like... Who sings Mr. Sandman?
I'm horrible.
I don't know who sings what.
I don't know who sings what.
That's not true. I know that All for One sings I Swear, and I'll never forget that. But I'm so bad with the lyrics of songs. But that, what you just sang, which if you had asked me, what do you like better, the Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams, or Mr. Sandman, that's a tough call.
That is a tough call.
But the way you went into it was so charming and adorable.
Thank you.
Which could be another title for a special. Yeah. But that song is used for like, what, like really sweet, like laundry commercials or kids making homemade dinners that mom showed them they could do because times are tough and you got to make your own food now, Caleb.
I feel like sorting laundry. Bum, 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 bum,
yeah.
Bum, bum. Or like cleaning something.
Yeah. Do you
sort laundry?
Yeah. Are you good? Do you do your own laundry?
What if I just finish all your sentences the rest
Guess
of your
what?
Podcast?
Guess what? Totally fine with that version of this.
I don't know. I finally sort. I used to just throw everything in for years. I wouldn't do lights and darks.
I didn't. Wow. Making it a racial thing right out of the gate.
But oh, no.
No, you're fine. We'll keep this in.
Hello.
Wait. Did you even like know the right temperatures to put things on?
Yeah, that I knew. I don't like how it's cold for dark. I feel like everything should be hot. Burn out the germs.
I feel like that too.
Do we look normal?
We do. We look great.
Honestly, look great. It's hard to tell which side is I'm touching. Do you know when you're like a? I don't know how the weather people do it.
You look. Oh boy, have you ever tried to do that?
I just failed.
Yeah, Gage, you want to take us off the screen? I think we're going to be looking at each other at ourselves the whole time.
No, I won't. I promise I won't. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I was like.
Or do you like to see yourself? Have you watched your special?
Have I watched it?
Yeah.
I did watch it.
Yeah. Did
with
you love
friends.
It?
I did really have fun. Thank you.
It's really good. Yeah. It's my, I guess not fiance.
I saw that. Congratulations.
Pretty cool. Yeah. She loves
that came
you.
Out of left field.
Yeah.
For me, because we haven't seen each other in a long time.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, Adam's engaged?
Yeah. Well, I just met her through, I was trying to buy a futon on Craigslist.
I just met her.
And I had the ring and I dropped it in front of her and said, it's a sign. I told that story to one of my mom's friends, did not laugh like that. Just didn't get it. Was like, well, that seems like a very unconventional way. I was like, you are old and Jewish. And don't pick up on sarcasm because everything is literal.
She's like, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah. But so she watched it with me and huge fan.
Wow.
She'd seen you at the store a few times and...
didn't like me because nobody there likes me.
Nope. See, you're finishing my thought and you're wrong. Nope. And I've showed her Conan sets because I think she... Once she started to be around me and stand up more, I was like, well, now you got to see who I like because...
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot and you're going to start to develop tastes and you're probably going to become almost like a comic where you see so much that you don't want to see a lot.
Yeah.
You know, where you're just like, somebody asked me this the other day, just like who my favorite comics were. And I think I said Chappelle as someone who was like household name and then yourself.
Thank you.
People that are in that next tier of like, very well known and in the comic world and entertainment business, you know, get their due cred, but people that maybe only pay attention to like, you know, giant billboards or movies that go,
right.
Well, I haven't seen them in a Fast and Furious film, so are you sure they're that funny?
I know, isn't it? It's just such an interesting thing with that, because I feel like we're constantly battling. I don't know. Like, I don't, we don't have, I honestly don't want to get into this too much because it's annoying and, but whatever. But the idea that it feels like we're still battling the women are funny thing, or women only talk about sex. And it's just like,
man,
okay, but have you, it's the same idea of this isn't funny. It's like, well, how nice for your life that you think everything placed before you is for you. King.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not everybody's going to like you. That's fine. But it's just interesting that people couldn't understand the concept that there are gatekeepers. There are people that are chosen to be shown to you.
Yes.
So if you want to know that there's more, you have to seek out more.
Yes. Also, guys talk about sex stuff too.
Yeah, like, of course.
That's, I've always been confused by that when they're like, God, these women, they talk about sex jokes.
Yeah.
It's like your stuff up top about condoms was so fucking clever.
Thank you.
Girl Daddy on HBO Max, streaming now.
Please watch it.
By the way, big fan of HBO Max.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff.
Very trepidatious. But
I agree. I mean, same.
Just because it's like, you're like, another streaming system.
I agree.
And I don't know who that guy was, but another, you know, another thing to not even pay for.
But just to
I
deal
got
with.
Money, but yeah, it's, God, could I dress more like one of the Lost Boys from
I kind of love it.
Okay,
I feel,
thanks.
Yeah, it makes
hey,
me feel comfortable.
I'm pushing 40.
I'm
I
hanging
think
with
this
my
is,
friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're at home.
I'm comfy.
But I agree with you. Yeah, it's tough because, like, you know, we already sit down and it's tough to open one streaming service and decide what to watch, let alone six different streaming services.
The color scheme is, I was on board with right away.
Thank you.
I'm like, it was lit beautifully. That was, it was cool too that, that my girl, commented on after laughing, how beautifully it was shot. Audience was mic'd so well.
Yes.
Which is, for whatever reason, not like something that happens on every special. And look, I don't have a special.
Someday.
HBO Max.
Hello.
I love your service. But like, I know what I am going to want to do and when and what I like. And to me, it's like, man, you got to fucking hear the crowd. And it looked intimate, but looked like spacious. So
I'm so happy to hear all this stuff because I obviously cared a lot.
You could tell, and I think you have to, and probably were part of the editing process, which I feel like for any of us, look, you got to review the game tape and watch, especially the special, probably really make sure that you're a part of that so that you know, they're not cutting on a punchline or just, I don't know, even a different angle sometimes for a joke of, or if they're pushing in on a slow zoom on a part where you're like, just keep it on me for that chunk, that little chunk, and then maybe, right? Like that.
Yeah, and still the, and then there's still the unknown variables. Like, I'll talk about it. I don't want to draw attention to it because I'm like, but there is one part that has, what is it? 3,000 times gone differently.
Yeah.
And I know, and it, that night it didn't. And I was just like, okay. And it's not that it's not a bomb. It's a reaction that I was used to.
Yep.
So normally I'll say, there's not a woman in here who doesn't love orgasming. And the crowd goes, woo, woo, woo. And I go, see, it's the sex that's the problem. Now, so that's the joke.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, no one in Minneapolis loved orgasming enough to go, woo, woo. And of course, like, obviously we have to be on our feet always. And
yes.
I was even that night.
Yes.
That woman started talking to me. Like, I
awesome.
Initiate contact with people, so I have to be prepared for that.
The guy who you were like, he said something about condoms, and you're like, yeah, and you put, you know, words
he
in his mouth
shocked about, me. He goes, I don't like that.
I don't wear condoms. Yeah.
Yeah, and it made me laugh.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I'm ready for that, but I wasn't ready for them to not respond to that because I just am so used to them responding. Like, woo, we love that. And it, of course, now I would go and I would say something like, along the lines of like, wait, do we have a huge problem in Minneapolis with women?
Very funny.
Not
and a good coming? Detour. Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
But you were conditioned to set up to go get that woo.
Yes.
And then the beat, the timing, and then it's a sexist problem.
So I watch it back and that's, I basically, like you're saying, being in the editing room, I was like, let's just clip it together and make it one sentence.
Cool.
So normally it's two parts, but in the special, and I'm ruining this for everyone.
Hollywood insights.
Yeah. In the special,
back.
I just say, there's not a woman who doesn't love orgasming.
Yeah.
It's a sex that's the problem. So
yeah.
It's still fine.
Still funny, still hits.
But it's way more fun than the other million times it went that other way.
I'm just kidding. There's nobody there. Hey, guys. Comedian Adam right here. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the About Last Night podcast. Boy, I gotta tell you, I've been feeling good lately. And the reason why? Koi CBD. That's right. Back in the game. Feeling like my best self. Look, Koi CBD is the best CBD company in the business. I don't care what you hear from other people, other comics, Koi CBD. See, I got so much BBD, CBD inside me, I ain't even fucking talking right. You know why? Because I slept well on the Koi CBD gummies. That's right. They've got everything from tinctures to bath bombs to gummies. They got a skincare line coming soon. They got hand sanitizer during these times. It's very important. So what you want to do, if you want to start feeling like your best self, you want to take some Koi CBD bombs, put them in the bath. Okay. What? Yeah, come on in. Jackson, I'm doing an ad for my podcast. Can you say hi?
Hello.
Say, I use CBD gummies.
I eat CBD gummies.
From Koi.
From Koi.
Koi's the best.
Koi's the best.
It makes me feel good.
It makes me feel good.
I feel like my best self.
I feel my best self.
Look at these muscles.
Look at these muscles.
Kiss them. If you get Koi CBD right now, you go to KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight, and you get 20% off your first order. That's incredible. Bath bombs, tinctures, skincare, hand sanitizer, gummies. They've got everything. They're my favorite. It's who I use. So start using it for you too. I can't recommend these guys enough. They're homies and all this shit works. Jackson, say 20%
off. 20%
off. If you use the promo code About Last Night.
If you use the promo code After Night.
About Last Night.
About Last Night.
Show them those guns again. Kiss them. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
I love those types of things where you can kind of set the audience up for something and they react. And because those types of things are contained enough to where it's not taken away from the show. It's not a heckle. It's funny when people hear, no one's like, dude, stop wooing for orgasms. It's because not everyone's going to do it. It's not a full unified response.
Even if one woman had gone, wow, you know what I mean? I would have been like, it's just her and me then.
Very funny.
You know, whatever. Yeah. But it was interesting that there was.
Did you take improv ever, or have you always just been a good listener?
I definitely we'll be not right a good back. Listener.
No. That sounded like a real teaser of a question. God, I wish I had commercials. HBO Max. Could put some Looney Tunes in right there.
Speaking of not a good listener, I was about to go, wait, what's the question? Yeah. No, improv. I took it when I thought I was done with stand-up. Like, year three of stand-up, I was like, this might not be for me. And I was in Chicago, and it was cold, and I was sad. And I was just like, I don't know, maybe I won't do stand-up anymore. And I took improv classes at The Annoyance.
Ooh.
So I went through that. I think it was about, I guess I was in the classes for a year or so, something like that.
The weather, real quick, that's a real thing of it having an effect on your mood.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, like,
very much.
Growing up in Seattle, I did not. I think you grow in, wait, in Chicago, right?
So I'm from Ohio, but I started stand up in Chicago when I, this is my adult beginnings, like on your own.
But even in Ohio as a youngster trying to find like activities and stay happy, it's like when you grow up in that weather, I don't think you know anything different.
Right.
So you're just kind of like, oh, cool. If it's like shit weather, I figure out things to do indoors. And if they end up being things that are more creative than not, then that's good, so I can be more busy, and then maybe that'll pay off later in life when I know how to keep myself entertained. But so, and then Chicago, you got a little bit of the bug from those improv classes, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, but like you're saying, I mean, the jokes that I was writing at the time, I remember like waking up because I was working several jobs and typically morning, so I could do stand up at night. And you know, you work really early and then get home around 3 or something. And if I wasn't babysitting, I'd take a nap and then before your show at 8 or whatever. And I remember sometimes waking up at 6, just like, why are we living? You know what I mean? Where you're just, you like look at a bookshelf and you're like, why do I even have those?
By the way,
you
know all great mean? Premises to jokes for a crowd that you want to walk out.
Yeah.
Why like, are we even
yeah,
here?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, we came here to have fun. Yeah, I'm sure I tried it on stage back then. You guys ever want to, why look at a bookshelf and have an existential crisis?
Oh, shit.
Anyway, so I took the improv because also I was a little scared of crowd work. I was really scared, I should say, of crowd work. Because in Chicago, at open mics and stuff, which I didn't do a ton of, a lot of the dudes would just yappity-yap, throw stuff at you, heckle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they're any bunch of mean guys, but like that was the atmosphere. Not always, but a lot of heckling. I don't know. That's just how the mics were. And it scared me. Because I was coming from theater where like I have a script, so please don't interrupt.
Oh, yeah. So you weren't used to any, like, fourth wall breaking.
Yeah. So I was just scared of the boys and scared of crowds.
What would they yell?
I mean, they used to give me a hard time. Like, what, are you going to go up there and whisper your punchlines? You know, stuff like that. But like, also,
why? Because you were...
I was just quieter.
Yeah.
And subtle and just, like...
Which is a style and which is still...
I feel like I'm a little closer to myself now, but I'm still, like... Not withdrawn, but I'm chill. People think I'm high all the time, and I'm not.
For real?
Yeah.
I get that quite a bit as well. And
but you're vivacious. You have energy.
Yeah, but that's still, people can be like, you're a
stoner,
an energetic stoner, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, no, I'm just tired. But but it's like, how do you get rid of these circles? But also, I know, like, when I laugh, my eyes. I think most people it's that a lot.
Yes.
So I'll take that versus the alternative. Like, who wants to laugh? Like, like, you're like, okay, I wish you were high. Just why?
Yeah, and also, I mean, nobody wants to be the cokehead person.
No way.
Like the constantly on.
Donald Trump Jr. By the way, I don't know how much you're paying attention to any of that stuff. I take it in doses because I can't get consumed.
Yeah.
Although I was dealing with just a lot of... having a nice little block party today on Instagram with people that think it's okay just to shoot people. But crazy. It's spending too much time on that. But
it can consume you. It's
1,000%. And
don't want to ignore, and you also I'm not saying you don't want to ignore, but you don't want it to consume you where you can be incapacitated.
Yes. What is your kind of stance on that? Because I have, you know, I've always kind of not been timid to post opinions, whether it be political or dealing with just social injustice and anything like that. And but definitely more so in the past couple of years. And I've heard comics on podcasts talk about how they just really dogging on comics and people that all of a sudden are coming out, like, what are you really doing by posting all this stuff and whatever? And I was like, oh, man, are they talking about me?
Right, I can understand that.
And then I would see people that are just flooding the comment things like, obviously, like, stick to comedy and nobody fucking cares. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm a person first. And in my eyes, I was like, oh, I'm using my platform to kind of...
Yeah.
But then I maybe look like, well, what am I really doing other than just voicing my opinion and, I guess, letting people know that... But I was so compelled on some of these levels... Recently, of things I was posting and getting such backlash that was so crazy. And people were even in the comment threads like, didn't realize you had so many right-wing, crazy, white supremacist, whatever people. And I'm like, yeah, me neither. Like, these comments are bonkers.
Yeah, drain the swamp for yourself.
Yeah. And so, and then you're just like, and then I remember talking to Brad Williams about it. And he was like, yeah, that's why I don't even do it. And I was like, well, I get that. But also, like, you got a bigger platform than I do. So, like... Well,
it'd be nice if you would, but
to each
their own.
Totally.
Look, I understand everything you're saying. It is complicated. Sometimes I feel like, just in general with jokes, and I mean, you just watched my special. Sometimes I feel like if I have a choice of what I say and I can choose to help or hurt, I would rather help and make it funny, like in my own terms. Yeah. I mean, again, it's also tough because we all feel very open. Like open targets, you know, right? So even if you mean well, or like I could get, somebody could be like, what are you looking at? What do you mean we don't need your help? It's like, well, you don't even know what I'm talking about. To me, I'm talking about my own personal experiences, sharing them in a way that I hope will help other people that relate to them.
Yes.
So that's my version of it.
Yep.
But yeah, of course I hear all those same things like, oh gosh, I saw somebody tweet something like, I'm going to do a whole hour about blank. And I'm like, oh, is that about me? You know, like, you're going to always worry because I guess we're comics and yes, we do rely on reaction.
Yeah.
But I agree with you in the sense that it's like, sure, you could post nothing and say you're making the calls like to some of these like district attorneys and DAs and sheriffs that are committing crimes against their citizens that are black. You can call and add your voice. And you don't need to post your call log and do this. So you could do that and not post anything. But it's also like, to me, I've found that when you post, you're just saying like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And you can too. Like, to me, it's like, let's try to all be in this together in the way. Not
to, people think you're trying to rile people up. I'm not trying to like, let's be like, you're just another sheep and blah, blah. And it's, and like, you don't even know half the story. There's always this. And it's like, and then you're, and then I'm like getting in these comment wars about, like, well, there's actually no proof of that. Like you're now you're just, but it's not even worth it.
It's,
but
it's not
like
worth your energy point, because that person shouldn't even be allowed to talk to you.
I know, right?
And social media was invented.
Oh, they'll be.
And now they can.
I know. That
you
is,
should just start responding, you shouldn't be allowed to talk to me.
I know. Well, so I usually go, I try to always take, and I like the way of like, if there was a way to comedically post something, but people, if you even post something like, which I was doing with Black Lives Matter and posting some things, even if I was trying to make a joke so that it was still in the comedy backdrop.
Right. You, what part of your job, essentially.
Right. Because I'm like, but then I go, man, 23 hours of the day, it's comedy coming through the feed. And a lot of it. And by the way, for free.
Yeah.
So it's just like all this stuff. You're just like, I'm trying to just, you know, that's fun and an outlet for me, but also trying to, you know, and I get a lot of sweet messages of people, you know, that are like, man, it's been a rough week. It's blah, blah, blah. And it's nice to go. And you're one of the things I go to and you're putting all this stuff and these things, these little quick laughs or a little bump of joy. And but then you go, all right, well, even if I posted a joke in some sort of a Black Lives Matter post, the people who are going to want to have a problem with it aren't going to see any of the attempt to try to like light, you know, have some comedy in there, too, which also that feels like a weird way to even go about it. But I think, you know, you and your special was so light and fun, but still personal. That's one thing that when I first saw you, I don't know where I first saw you, and we might have talked about this before.
I know, I'm like, where did we meet?
Well, I know when we first like got to become homies, which was you, me, and Thomas Dale in Colorado.
We went to go see Black Mass.
We're going to see Black
And we did a college
Mass,
together,
the Johnny
which was
Depp
very fun.
Mobster movie. And the college was great. And why it was great, because you, me, and Thomas Dale, it's also like a really great collection of people that are fun and upbeat, down for a hang, like, you
and
know.
And we all do our own thing.
We all do our own thing, but it was, and we'd never hung together. And that's why, that really was at a time when I was just like, God, I fucking am so glad that I stuck with this for moments like this, where it was like, people I'd wanted to get to know, but you're at the clubs and everyone's kind of in their lanes and doing their things, and you might be on after someone or before, and then they're bouncing or going to another set or you know, you need a good, I think I met you through Andrew Santino the first time at the Improv.
Okay,
The, that new bar that they had built in there.
Yeah.
Which is now the Lab. And, when it got turned from the Lab to the bar, that's when we first met, and we both kind of shared, I think, like nice pleasantries as far as like, oh yeah, I've seen you. Like, oh, but it was very goofy right away. Like we were joking and I was like, oh, that's cool that we both just jumped in the bit boat and didn't do like, I'm a fan of your work.
Bit boat.
Yeah. Without a raft. And we were just, instead of just like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. Yeah. I really like your work. Like, you know, that would, I would have been like, oh fuck, this is, we're never going to go see Black Mass. But,
I have that photo of us three on my wall.
Do you really?
I'll text it to you once we get home.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
We went to, or did just Thomas and I go to a weed shop, or did we all three go?
You guys went, and I think I probably went and got food.
Or you napped, maybe, because it was a fucking, like, 6 a.m. flight. I think we had it stop.
It was, like, I don't want to say middle of nowhere Colorado, but, right? But it was, like, it wasn't Denver is all the point.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember one of the kids who was driving us around, that was, like, a thing. Like, I was trying to remember, like, plot points if you were to sell the script of this show. And there was the college kids that would drive you from the venue to back to the hotel.
Horribly drive you.
Oh yeah, this girl. I mean, I
love it when the club's like, "We'll send your opener to pick you up." I'm like, "How old is the opener?"
Oh, I remember I made a comment being like, "Are you? Do you guys have your licenses?" And I remember Thomas being like, "Oh, you're bad. You can't say that to people." And I was like, "Thomas, that was like," and then we hit a couple bumps or she swerved, and he was like, "Okay, bitch, you need to figure out a drive." And then we went to...
This is why you were on Mad TV.
Yeah. No, I mean, Thomas is just... I mean, that voice, I don't know why. We've talked about it many times. I'm like, you need to just create a bunch of animated shows.
How
and get
is he
somebody...
not... Is he in animation at all?
I don't know, man. But it's like, it's truly... You
what
know some
his,
people...
Didn't he have like a little catchphrase that all the New York comics used to say?
Oh, what? I don't...
I forget what it is.
Look at my little straight boy. I don't know. He just
he has some sort of catchphrase.
So infectious his cadence.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't even know. It's like a
weird gasp sigh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't know. That's Jesus. But yeah, that was a real treat.
That was
fun. Even at that point, which I think was like, I want to say maybe 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
Then we got high. I went to the arcade at the movie theater, which like those don't get enough play or credit.
We'll never. Well, we certainly couldn't do it now. We were touching everything. It was like tee, tee, tee.
Wow.
And then like touching things and like the whack-a-mole.
By the way, if there could be a more adorable clip of someone miming playing a movie theater arcade shoot 'em up game, ding ding, bing boom, bing boom, bing. I mean, that's amazing. And shows that you're not a violent person.
Bing, boom, beef, ba poof. And then you bop them on the head.
You clean the mallet first before you bop them. Yeah, that I've only ever attended movie theater arcades with my nieces or nephew because it's like, I mean, and good on you for whoever came up with that idea. It's like the Pizza Hut Taco Bell combo. It's like, these two things are great separate, but what about if they're together? Dairy Queen and Burger King, just real quick, have not joined forces is kind of crazy for some royal fast food of
It should be funded
gluttony.
By Charmin. Just like
that's amazing. They hand you a roll before your meal and after. But you were, even at that show, were so brilliantly, like, personal, which is something that I have strived to be more attentive to, and I feel like I've gotten better in the last 2 or 3 years, as you do, as you just get better in general at the craft. But I was always so envious right out of the gate. Like, I was just sitting there like, she's fucking good at talking about her personal life. But you had so much you just tapped into it, and it made me, because I was always so, not standoffish, but like, oh, what's funny about my family? But I just hadn't really chosen to, I guess, yet see the funny in it, because maybe some stuff that was serious wasn't funny, or certain things I was like,
it takes a while, right?
Everyone's got a mom joke. What's my mom? But then you're like, no, but that's very specific to you. You just need to figure out, you know, what your point of view on it is.
Well, two things. One, it's hard to make dark things funny, and that takes practice.
Yes.
Two, my favorite thing about stand-up is sharing something extremely, extremely unique or something that you think is like only you.
Yeah.
And then getting a laugh from it. Like, that's my favorite part of stand-up. I wish I could come up with a better word right now. My mind's going blank. But like something so unique and weird that you think only you do it, and then sharing it and get a laugh, that's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how could you possibly be laughing in those? It's only me who does this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it's like trial and error of that.
Did you, was that the first kind of, I don't know, chunk of material that you would like dive into when you first started writing? Or were you writing topical?
Never topical. Commentary? Topical scared me for the longest time, I think.
Right.
I mean, I
remember
one of my-
We got a new Charmin bit.
Yeah, one of my oldest, or I'm trying to think like an old bit from Chicago days that was topical, and of course I don't like it now, but it was along the lines of, was it Dole was running? Dole?
I merely thought of the orange or the lemon.
Maybe it was Bob Dole or one of the candidates for president.
Bob Dole, yes, he was running.
Something, I remember making some joke like, oh, what is this, his make-a-wish? And now it's like, of course.
It's funny.
Like I wouldn't do it now, but I think back then I was like, I'm doing a topical joke. You know, like, this is
very
crazy
funny.
For me.
Well, you wouldn't do it now. Why? Because Make-A-Wish jokes, you think are hack or?
A little hack.
Everyone's got a Make-A-Wish joke.
Yeah, a little hack. And then I'm just sort of, I don't know. It's so hard. There's so much content in the world now with Twitter and all the apps and memes. Like, you know, tweets going viral. You know what I mean? Like, in the sense that it's like, then that's a joke. I forget one of mine.
People
that-
People get writing jobs based on that shit, don't they?
I know. So one of the ones that, it didn't go viral at all, but it just did well, was like, my favorite comedian is memes. That was the tweet.
That
and
was
it's
yours?
Like, yeah.
That's really funny.
And it's like, true for people. So that bothers me. that their favorite comedian is memes.
Probably got a lot of attention on it, and there are a lot of people being like, me too.
Yeah. Memes. They're like, some people, I think, retweeted it because it's ironic to them, and other people retweeted it because they're like, yeah, my favorite comedian is memes. Like, it's just like, that bothers me, I think, because I am personal, where it's like, invest in someone. Like, look at them, listen to them. It's a human. So, but of course, I also love memes.
You do?
Well, I mean, they're fun.
Who
sometimes.
Doesn't?
Of
they
course.
Are fun. What do you have one that's coming to mind? That
right here.
Can you pull
Absolutely.
One up?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Of course, I have one on the ready. Gavin sent me this. Like, he's so Gavin is the younger comic I dated for many years, and at the moment we're just best friends. But
you are?
Yeah, we're friends right now, best friends.
Oh, good.
Not currently romantic. But he tweeted, or he sent this to me, because like I joke in the special about dating a younger guy, yep. And of course that's the other thing we have to think about now. Before you tweet something, before you say something, is it already out there? Like I already have those questions anyway. So the more personal you get, the less chance it is that it's going to already be out there.
Yes.
So there is that. But I've almost tweeted like, oh, I love dating a younger guy because I can always come to Twitter and find out how he's feeling. You know what I mean? Like it's like.
It's really funny.
Okay, so. Do you want me to show it to you? It's
yeah.
It's a T-Rex with glasses on, and it says on the outside, I skirt, skirt, but on the inside, I hurt, hurt.
Yeah, see, that's, who doesn't love a good T-Rex meme?
Yeah, I love it.
You're kind of a monster if you don't. There's certain things I go, if you don't find that funny, I feel bad for you. If a chubby kid farts in an elevator and you don't smile, you're dead inside. You're dead inside.
My second favorite thing is fail videos, like people falling.
Me too.
And stuff. I mean, if you get something going, you watch it over and over, tears.
Tears. And those, I mean, you seem like a very infectious, genuine laugher and not like easy to get going, but I feel like if something really gets you.
Oh my gosh. I can laugh until I almost
really?
Barf.
That's awesome.
And I can remember the times. Brody almost got me one time. I almost barfed because of Brody at Meltdown one time. Another time was Dana Gould at Tiger Lily. It was Dana. Oh, and Eddie Pepitone has got me like that.
Pepitone. Well, yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Brody's string of just like, I mean, when he's just on it and yeah. they're.
There are also, of course, times where I was like, Brody's been talking for 40 minutes. I'm pissed. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yeah,
I yeah. literally left. I'm yeah, like, I'm yeah. not going
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yes, he's definitely got me.
Crying, laughing to the point of crying.
It's very fun.
It's so fun and rare. I mean, the times I think about where I truly haven't been able to breathe, special. There was this time, and I've posted this before, I need to figure out a way to make it more out there for the world because Josh Wolf, who has a very great infectious laugh, was on the podcast and I had taken these, I think antibiotics or steroids, or I think they're steroids.
I've taken these. Just a bunch of pills.
They're pills that I found on the street, and it said antibiotics, and it was written in crayon. But I hadn't eaten. You're not supposed to take these steroids on an empty stomach, basically. And so I started getting these hiccups, but these hiccups turned into like deep guttural burps. So it was this thing where I would like almost like. Like that, but yeah. then this noise would come out that not even Steven Spielberg would would say, yes, let's use that one for the Tyrannosaurus in Jurassic Park 5. We're doing a fifth.
It inspires the movie.
It was so crazy, but it kept happening. So it was one of those, like we were just saying, like continual, and then there'd be a break, and he started laughing, and the noises kept getting deeper and weirder, and I started to get visibly scared because I'm like, I don't know if it's gonna stop. And Josh was
you just barf, but it's like one little pill.
Dude, it was. I mean, I never felt like, yeah, like anything was gonna come up. Where it was just
oh,
these
good.
Like dry, but it was
dry
and,
burps.
And but the noises were insane. I couldn't control it. And Josh was crying, couldn't breathe at one point. Was on the ground, begging me to stop. And then he got back up, and then I did it again. And then he fuck. I mean, and this video, and I had started taping it, and it's. And I'll watch it every now and then just to like feel good because
yes.
his laugh is so, you know, rare.
Yes.
Do you have people in your family that do that to you or friends that you're like, I know if I go out of my way to hang with this person, I'm going to have a good chuckle.
Oh my God. I mean, my sister, I have two older sisters, Megan and Hannah, and my mom. We're just very close. It's like our core four back
are
in
Are you
Ohio.
The funniest?
I mean, I'm professionally funniest, but...
Yeah, but you're also a funny hang, and that matters.
They're both very funny.
Okay, cool. So, yeah. So the playoff and the
Hannah
banter.
Hannah is sort of more like a sleeper. Like, don't sleep on her, because she'll... For example, like, one video that I also can watch and just repeat, die laughing is, I fell asleep at Megan's on her couch. Megan has 3 kids. Hannah now has 4. We're all hanging at, who knows, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whenever it was. And I fall asleep. I'm like... perpetually having mono or something. I can fall asleep anywhere. I think
you.
Just when I get home, I'm like, I can
zen out.
Yeah, I guess. And wow. The kids tire me out. Whenever I'm home with my nieces and nephews, I'm like, could I ever be a parent?
I know. I think that all the time.
Yeah, I'm just like, how do you do that? I guess maybe because it's a mixture of being home, wanting to relax, and the kids being like, let's play.
Yeah.
And I'm over here like, I think I need to rest, but I do love my family. So anyway, I fall asleep all the time in random places.
Wow.
This was on the couch. Kids are watching TV, or most of them are in bed. Hannah takes one of the little kids, like, I think it was a toy baby bottle, and they're videotaping it. It was a real baby bottle, and puts it in my mouth as I'm sleeping, because I'm like, and so in the video, she puts it in my mouth, and I'm like, and then I wake up, look at it, and I go, and I fling it at her. And it's just like, I can watch that on repeat.
So fucking funny.
Watching someone sleep, awake to a baby bottle in their mouth. And then chuck it. It's just, it's fun. It's very fun. It's fun.
Try it if you haven't.
Good prank.
Is there a place that you've fallen asleep at that you were like, publicly you woke up and it was like,
bad.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
One time was on a train from Chicago to the suburbs, and I slept past. I was getting picked up in Roselle, and I slept.
Isn't that just I feel like you're waking up.
My mom was like, where are you?
And you wake up and you're like,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, they say another stop, and you're like, but that can't be. My stop was before this.
Yes. I mean, oh my gosh. I went to Dave Rispoli. He's a sketch comic that I met in Chicago, and now he's out here, but I went to his family's, I think, Easter on Long Island.
Yep.
And I mean,
you were there. Yeah.
They had to have thought I might have been on some sort of like drugs, that like maybe heroin, like nodding out. I'm not kidding. I fell asleep at the family dinner table. I was falling asleep as we were talking in the living room. I was falling asleep. I can't explain it. I think I was just exhausted living in New York, like working. I have no clue, but I was falling asleep. Maybe I had a condition at the time. It was his Uncle Bat's house, and they called him Uncle Bat because his real name is Bruce Wayne. I mean, it's brilliant.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they call him Uncle Bat. It's so funny. It's like a cutout in the basement. It was a very fun time, but I kept falling asleep. I also I was the intern at the school at Steppenwolf in Chicago.
Cool.
Asleep on the floor often, to the point where the students would give me a hard time about it. I would sleep in college and class.
There's old floor sleeper Stelling.
I'm supposed to like make sure everything's running, and I'm on the floor while they're doing like Meisner, like your eyes are blue, and I'm like,
your eyes are blue.
And then I remember falling asleep in class all the time in college, and drooling down my arm.
That's
so
bad.
Hard that it slipped out from under me.
Holy
in
shit.
Maybe 20th century
That's
poetry.
Very Disney Channel kid show of you. Like, best girl asleep with a drool in her elbow.
What about you?
Man, falling asleep on planes, I've violently woken myself up. Where it's just like, and it's terrifying. If you've ever, quick apology to anyone who's been on the right or left of this. And also, it's like, what were you dreaming about? Where, and then I'm like, did the noise happen like sometimes as I woke up? So it's just catching myself and that transition back to reality that you're almost like, you could, guess what? You could glide back into reality by just being like, who? But I'm always like, oh, here we are. Like some fucking, I wish I could just go, and we're back.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking, I've
mine
definitely
is
had people,
also usually like a ha or something.
And the people, I've 80% of the time, they're like, fuck, man.
Right.
Or they're also asleep, or it's just your close proximity. So, yeah, it's just
so embarrassing.
The plane is so quiet more often than not, and so, especially when sleep's going on. So to just jolt quickly, even if you're awake and you jolt quickly, that's probably better in a weird way, because at least they can kind of just in their periphery see you kind of, you know, reaching for your bag than if you were to go like, bah! And they're like, whoa, well, I did see you reaching for your bag. So that quick move back didn't completely take me out of my.
I don't remember. I don't miss travel, really.
No.
I don't.
I've been flying around a little, getting tested too many times. Although seeing some of these tests that people are posting, I'm like, yo, where do you get that test?
This one?
I get the ones I got in Seattle all the way up to where I'm like, I don't know math. Like, they were violating. But also, I'm like, hey, man, wherever you got to put it, like, get the results.
Sure, sure.
And the first one was a drive. All of them were drive up in Seattle. By the way, easy to make an appointment. Don't cost anything. Results back ASAP.
Wow.
I mean, let's get with it. By the way, if I'm not a comic in 2 years, I'll be a PTA mom. Yeah. The tests were easy.
Get with it.
Appointment. Didn't cost a thing. Results. Got them right. The next day. And we don't still have, you know. But kids still, not every kid has soup. You know. But so the drive-through doctor, I go, he's got two things. And I go, oh, two? And he goes, and a third one. I go, where's that one go? He goes, where do you think? And then I go, I don't know why I'm surprised this banter's happening. You're a drive-through doctor. And then he laughed. And then I go, man, you really committed to that third one going somewhere. I'm assuming you meant rectally. And he was like, yeah. And I go, why'd you go there? He goes, you seem like you wanted it. And then which I know, again, was a joke. And then I was like, well, now I'm going to play the reality of the moment. And I just go, I do. And then he didn't laugh. And I go, whoop, was joking there. Let's switch doctors.
He's but like, pull ahead.
I have time for that sort of riff.
Pay at the next window. You're like, I thought this was free.
But I saw Whitney posting, and I know you went, did her place, and those looked like they still went in, but like,
not long, right?
No.
Like, I've seen like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10
yes.
for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still not pleasant, but.
No.
Did she have a whole, like, was there a doc?
I wasn't there for that round of testing. I went and did the podcast,
yes.
whatever that was.
Yes.
But so
that's what I'm saying.
I didn't do testing there. So okay. I didn't get it done to me, but it sounds like she's going to do more shows. She's crazy. Still looking for a name for the shows, but I think like negative. We'll pitch later.
Would you? We'll edit this out. Would you do? I it got me starting to think about even like a special during these times.
Yeah.
And
some people are going to do specials during these times.
Yes, and I want to be one of those people, and I've had talks with
HBO Max.
Oh, dude, come on, guys! I know most of you guys over there. Some of you real well. The more I sound like Tony Danza, does that help you want to give me a special? Come on, guys. But I also something different is very appealing about it. Like, the outdoor show is, when done right, can be very cool. And I was at Chappelle's summer camp a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and that
cool.
shit
was that fun?
Unbelievable. I didn't get to go up, unfortunately, because the lineup was so stacked that it was like,
yeah, it's like, do I follow Erykah Badu or...
Hilarious. Do I go before John Mayer or after
Should
Ashanti?
Should I ask if we can squeeze in between Questlove and...
Yeah.
And Tiffany
Does
Haddish?
Keith Sweat open for me? He's not going there, but I hope he does.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I met him at the Comedy Store once. And I'm sorry. Wow. Big bummer. I'm getting my 90s R&B guys mixed up. I put Keith Sweat and Brian McKnight in the
same
boat.
Oh, okay. You met Brian McKnight?
Yeah, at the Comedy
I was on a
store.
Flight with him once, and I was just like...
We'll be right back with whose Brian McKnight story is better. Wait, what?
No, your story is better because I just kind of
on
admired
the flight
him.
Psalm.
Yeah, I just he came on with a woman and I was like, oh my God.
Did you start singing the song in your head?
No, but I have done that before on accident.
That would have been great.
I can help you get that bag. Three.
Excuse me, I have to pee, but I'll bring you back some Diet Sprite. He crushed it for that era of music.
Absolutely.
And probably still crushing it. I think there was a video a little bit ago that he was on some sort of one of the COVID relief concerts even. I was like, yeah, why not throw him in this mix? Provided us with enough hits.
And how, and to me, sometimes, yes, people's voices change, I guess, over time, but some people just will always have it the rest of their life.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I think he takes Aretha, care of the pipes.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be people who always have
it. You say urethra?
Aretha.
Oh, I swear to God.
I could have possibly said urethra.
I said, you said urethra, and I was like, I do not know the current artists. You know when you watch an MTV Video Music Awards and they're like, we'll be right back with Baxter Schwimmy. And, you know, he's like, and it's some kid with a sideways hat being like, Nick Carter can suck on these nuts. And you're like, you're throwing shade at Nick Carter? I'm tuning in. How many, by the way, I saw that guy on the plane stories, do you think? Because I literally just coming back from Seattle, Dennis Quaid was on our flight.
Oh, my gosh.
And they, I think, had misplaced his guitar after, so I got to watch like a whole, I felt like I was watching.
Isn't that crazy?
TMZ before it's aired, where he was like, my guitar. And that's not Dennis Quaid, but I think I actually got the head cock pretty
good. Yeah, a little
good,
bit.
Because he always kind of walks, and even all his movies, he's always kind of like.
He's got swag, yeah.
Just like, kind of a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And he was, and then some guy was like, you know, people at the baggage claim were staring a little too obviously. And I was like, just let the guy live his life.
I was going to say, like, look, some people would lose their minds at that.
Yeah.
If they lost something, but I guess he's always dealing with, like, this could be videotaped. And
for sure. And like, I think he was keeping his cool, but he's walking by baggage claim and some guy goes, he pulls out his phone and I almost want to be like, I almost want to slap it out of the guy's hand because I was like, he's perturbed about something.
Yeah, dude. Let him be.
Let him be. And he walks by and I think Quaid even like looks down and sees the phone and then the guy goes, Mr. Quaid, any movies coming out soon? He's like, we'll just have to see. He's like, oh, done. He goes, we'll have to see when they come out, and kind of smiled and gave him a little moment. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, all he gave you something, put the phone away.
Yeah, maybe it would. You don't know how certain celebrities operate. Some of them actually, like, need it, you know? So maybe that switched his mood to a good mood.
Yeah.
And maybe.
It would have been great if the guy was like, if you come over here and look into the camera while you say that, I'll tell you where your guitar is. Huh? But
grips him by the throat. I do have regrets of not approaching Robin Williams when he was at Meltdown, because he was like someone I idolized as a kid.
1,000%.
Yeah.
I just watched, my buddy did this documentary, I think is coming out soon, just got distribution. It's about the Lewy body dementia that he had.
Oh, okay.
And focuses more on that, and his wife is a huge part of it. It's fucking heartbreaking. But
yeah, the disease is very awful to deal with for everyone, for the family, for them.
Yeah, and just how he was like, you know, when they had to be in separate beds finally because he was not sleeping and she wasn't sleeping and he was kind of somewhat violent at times in bed when he was, they just had to, she needed to get some sleep while she was taking care of them and she couldn't while she was with them. So
right.
He couldn't process that and thought, he's like, does this mean we're getting divorced? Like that's where his brain went.
Yeah.
And he was so sad about it and just couldn't put it together. And
These diseases, when the mind goes and betrays you, it's like the most awful because there's no making sense of it.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for coming on, Beth. It's been a lot of fun. I'm sorry.
But I wish I'd said something because I think he might be maybe one of those types of people.
He would have.
Who would have like appreciated it and maybe given me a hug and I would have been complete.
He would have. And you're so sweet and charming.
I didn't
want to
bother him. But
I had that exact same thought, and I did, and I have a picture framed on my wall of it when he was opening for Eddie Pepitone at the lab, the old lab,
gosh.
The old improv lab. You were out here for that, right? The little black box?
Mm-hmm. I wish it were still like that.
That space, I don't
and
know why.
And make it BYOB. I know it's not right in the liquor license and blah, 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 but God, I wish it were still like that.
There's a tiny little sound booth in the corner. It was perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
I wonder if it's our theater backgrounds that we made us love it even more.
Because it was like this, and then now it's like this.
It sucks now.
Yeah, you used to walk in and it was straight ahead.
Yes,
yeah,
and it was just a little room. And even if there were seven people in there, it was awesome.
You could have had four, I agree. Yeah, it's...
Eddie was like, hey, Robin's coming down tonight. And we, you know, over a handful of chats and hangs, he just... And recently enough been aware of my love for him to say, hey, come down here if you want. And I think I was... going anyway because I hadn't seen Eddie's hour yet. And I was just like, I gotta see this. And I'm in the green room. He's like, come back here. Robin's there. I'm just listening to them just all shoot the shit. And he's got a big beard. And he's just looks like, he's just, I mean, you feel so warm just being around him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling him to go up. And he's like, no, I don't want to go. Sure, you're the, you know. And then made some joke about Eddie. And then Eddie laughed. And And then he's like, all right, I'll go up and do 10 minutes. You know, he's like, and everyone was like, you gotta. And he really was just like, I don't, it's not my, like, I'll feel like you have too many. And everyone was like, you go up. And maybe Elon Gould was there and he was like, you know, you go up, Dana Gould. Like, I won't go if you. And he goes up there and obviously didn't have a game plan. Somebody's phone rang right out of the gate. He just did 15 minutes on cell phones. And it was like, what? And then afterwards, he's walking out. People are going nuts. And somebody, and I was like, don't do it, man. Like, somebody always told me, like, be on the same level. Like, they're a peer. But in my head, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to ever be with Robin Williams again. I just don't.
You're listening to me who has the regret of not doing it.
We can Photoshop you into the picture I have. And so he's walking out literally right at the back that where the improv, where that bar now, where the door is.
Yeah.
And he'd just taken a picture and I was right there. I go, Robin, you're the reason I'm doing this. And he just said, oh, and I go, do you mind? And he was just like, oh, took it, smiled. I mean, I'm just fucking. But that being said,
you got that.
That being said, I saw Rachel Ray once at Burbank Airport and did not ask for a picture. So,
your sister?
You know, you give a little, what's that?
I'm just kidding. I said, your sister?
Hilarious. By the way, was supposed to be a girl, couldn't see this in the sonogram, was going to be Rachel Ray. We'll be right back. No, that's a true story.
We'll be right back. We're making gnocchi.
That's, by the way, add that. If you do an SNL audition tape, yeah, that's your Rachel Ray. I'm Rachel Ray. Today, we're going to make, you know what? We're going to make something great. We'll be right back. We're making gnocchi. She just says,
plain gnocchi.
That's actually a great teaser. We'll be right back and then slip in what you're making at the end. And people are like, fuck. As they wait for that moment.
She's cool.
She is cool.
She was on the episode I co-wrote with Pete.
I was just about to ask.
That's my, what's it called?
You're talking parking. About my writing credits alarm? It's time to plug
that
my
That was actually the name drop
credits.
Alarm.
The name drop alarm.
This is my niece.
Oh my fucking hilarious. God. That is.
I love her. This is like mini me. I have a couple mini me's, which is why I feel like, from my sisters, I mean.
What is her name? Can you say it?
This is Grace.
Beautiful name. You can tell she's doing that to be silly.
Yes.
Is she 4?
Yeah, she's about 3 or 4. Cool. I never keep track of their ages, honestly.
We're back.
And we're back.
Ooh.
What's that from? SNL? And we're back.
Yeah.
I think.
If you do. Some little phrase in a weird voice always sounds like it potentially could be from something.
Yeah.
I used to do that in high school if I did, if something like tanked, if I'm just trying to be a goofball in front of friends and girls especially, and they're like, what was that? And I was like, oh, you haven't seen that movie? And they'd be like, no.
That's,
I was like,
genius.
Al Pacino. He said, like, you guys got the drinking fountain. Do you have cable? You know, and then
what
spinning
a great
on
save.
Them. Yeah.
Save or whatever. Yeah. I was just thinking about like the special and like, how you have to get things to work. Like, saves can work, too.
Yes.
But it's better to find the... I'm stating the obvious here. I was just thinking in my head, like, I had a period of time where I was, like, saving more than just fix the joke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't do a save. Just fix the joke.
Wait, but so... Well, before we stop, we were going to talk about...
Oh, yeah.
Crashing.
Oh,
we were
going to
talk about specials outside, which I want to hit before we wrap
yes.
up. But real quick...
Yeah, where were we talking about crashing for?
I'll get us back there.
Okay, thank you.
But real quick, you just doing the, and we're back, and then having that be, and I was like, that sounds like it's from something, and we were trying to figure it out. It reminded me real quick, and did you ever do extra work?
Yes.
Okay. What was your...
And quite honestly, comics and people who refuse to do it, eat my ass and get yourself.
And when you're done
job.
Eating Beth's ass, come on over yeah. to the Ray household and grab a big old spoon. You know what? It could be a small spoon. I don't want to tell you how much to eat, but you're eating it.
Teaspoon's fine with me. No, I just like, there's nothing.
Another phrase that sounds like it's fine. Teaspoon's fine with me. My next character is an old lady who loves to eat ass.
No matter the measuring amount. Just take a little bite.
Oh my God, that's very funny.
But anyway, whatever. There's nothing that irks me more than comics. I'm poor. I'm like, get your ass to the extra line.
You are in LA where there's so many ways to make money. the amount of whatever, I'm not going to get
into that. Anyway, that's a tangent. I did. Freaking work.
But the extra conversations.
It is a pandemic, but okay, sorry.
Yeah, a little tougher now. But when we get back. But the amount of conversations that were unreal between some of these like veteran extras, which is a great band name.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a Hootie and the Blowfish cover band, but veteran extras
is a great improv troupe name.
Whoa.
Okay, keep going.
Yes, and we should start it. this one guy in this one experience I had, which was about a week on this movie, and I'm, you know, like, yeah, I'll shoot the shit, get to know some of these people and whatever, and I'm social. I don't want to just sit in the corner for hours. That's boring. And this one guy, though, was like, you know, not the king of the extras, but he definitely was like the, yeah, Julia Roberts is great, isn't she? And you're like, what? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, was somebody talking to you? And he was like, you know, when I worked on Notting Hill, she was, you know, look, she's, and I could see you kind of like staring off at her, being like, you know, is she going to come up and talk to me? Probably not, but that's okay. In my experience, when Jules, and you're like, don't say that. When Jules, you're like, don't abbreviate the last name. No. When Jules Robs would would come over to where we're at, you know, it's a different space, but we're still actors. She's an actor, I'm an actor. What are you? I don't know, upset that I'm in this conversation. And they were just kind of like, talk about the experience as if it was more than.
Yeah.
And, you know, in hindsight, I'm like, who am I to judge whatever you're trying to soak up from that experience? You know, if that's making you happy to be there. And honestly, he had the best perspective of anyone because he's just like.
So positive.
Totally.
They're the bringers of the acting world. The bringer shows.
Got it.
Of the acting world. Yeah.
But so hilarious also.
You think he'd all. I thought you were going to go like, oh yeah, that's like I can imagine him being like that. You like Nora? Like knowing her stand-in's first name.
Oh, do
you
know what I mean? Oh, yeah. I'm like, sure he did, yeah.
Yeah. Today it's Nora. Usually it's Martha.
And you're like, that's okay, yeah, a yeah, level of specificity. Yeah, that yeah. He's, yeah. And by the way, no one gave him that info.
No.
He like somehow lurked around.
She's 2 pounds, 2 pounds lighter.
Like, well, since she started Tai Bo, but you know, her dad actually runs a course, you know. And then, yeah, knows the crafty guy's names. Yeah. You done with those crackers? You know, Marty's bringing a fresh batch tomorrow. A fresh batch of crackers? You mean he's just buying another box from Ralph's? Okay, yeah. Dude. Is this your first day?
I can tell it's your first day.
I can tell. It's okay. It's okay. Settle in.
You're probably nervous.
Yeah. Being on a fucking. You're probably nervous sitting here amongst 300 other people just staring at the ground. But. Contemplating your life. But I can see.
Relax, and the camera will come to you.
Oh my God, that's fucking. If he had said that, I would have been like, dude, just. That's actually. Is that how it works? I don't know how movies are made.
Mine was The Breakup. That was my first extra movie.
Very cool. In Chicago.
Yeah, I was in this, I almost couldn't think of it. Wrigley Field for hours and hours and hours and hours in that baseball scene.
That's kind of cool.
It was cool.
Right?
Yeah, I made some friends. I mean, you know, like I was doing the same thing where you're just like, who are these people?
You get to see where you, so Vincent and Jen and mm-hmm. Stim were there.
Yeah, never got too close, but definitely saw them.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it was
first
cool.
taste of it, right?
Yeah. It was cool. I also was loving Vince Vaughn at the time, like Wedding Crashers and.
Oh, that had just probably come out.
Yeah, I was like, in love with him, yeah. Dodgeball.
Dodgeball, yeah.
Anyway, sorry, where were we?
So crashing.
I took us on a.
We're getting into crashing because I was talking about an episode, and now I'm forgetting.
Oh, Rachel Ray.
Co-wrote with Rachel Ray, yes, when Pete went on the show.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And again, I was saying I've always kind of been enamored with just, it's at a certain point you go, this person's probably got billions. What's the appeal here? I need to check in and make sure this checks out, you know? And I was like, yeah, she's fucking charismatic and charming and knows her shit. And she's just moving and shaking.
Yeah.
And because I would see like, you know, anyone can make spaghetti in 8 minutes. How about 4? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
How about 4?
8 seems fine, but what's going on with 4-minute spaghetti? But she in the episode was so great. And that was such a great, just very clever out, like, again, and this is why you're such a great writer.
Thank you.
On and off stage. To come up with stuff like, a world like that is pretty cool.
The warmth, yeah. I mean, in some ways too, like, I always yearn for, like, grounded things and more reality.
Yep.
So there were times of crashing where I was like, nah, this would never happen. You know, like, yes. There was definitely that for me personally, but I'm one writer of a group. So, yeah. And I'm not the executive producer. So there were definitely times where you're feeling like, he's not going to get a warm-up gig this that early or whatever it
yeah.
is. But it's television.
You have to kind of drop that guard a little.
Yeah,
Does that happen in, I mean, obviously.
Like, I make those complaints to the.
Hey, Judd. That's your real name. Yeah.
Quite honestly, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, that's enough? A writer's room, yeah.
But it's also when they assemble a writer's room like that for a big HBO show and Apatow's at the helm, is it, most of you guys knew each other, yeah?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some new people that I met when I was there. There was a couple veteran writers that were with us for season one that
tougher to be a veteran. Oh, sorry.
No.
That you've never met?
Yeah, I'd never met them. Just like basically guys that Judd had known from way back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tougher to be those guys with the new young comics
or for you guys
coming in trying to get your feet wet? Because you've written on other stuff, right? Before that?
That was my first writing job.
Gotcha.
And I mean, I'd spent some time. Yeah, that was my first television writing job. I mean, I think of like Ed Krasnick, who was one of them. He's such a nice guy, but like, you know, I don't know. I probably thought he was comfortable and knew what he was doing, but maybe he was feeling the opposite. Like, oh, these young comics, I can't keep up.
Or, yeah.
I don't know how he was feeling. He was a nice guy, but I'm just saying, I would think it would be harder.
Let's bring
for
him out. Ed.
He's under my chair.
See that tiny?
What? He was small. No.
I used to do that joke with Brad where I'd be like, if I talked about Brad, I'd be like, Brad Williams, my podcast co-host. Well, he actually might be under your chair. Check your audio seats. I go, he's crafty. And it would get a laugh.
Brad.
But is there an element to the writer's room that's like nerve-wracking if you've got like the story laid out and then it's just kind of, and then you're just kind of pitching jokes?
Yeah, sometimes it can feel like a little, like it depends on the structure of the room, who's the showrunner, how they run things. Because like every writer's room really is different, of course. It's a different assembly of people and a different showrunner. And sometimes people are more strict and sometimes they're more laid back. But
and Pete's at the helm, so he's in there, right?
Pete's mostly at the helm there. And then Judd pops in and he's kind of like the final say. Well, I mean, this is in the past. I'm acting like we're in it right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes like, we would be pitching or what you might call like blue sky, just thinking about the possibilities forever, like spend a whole day just sharing stories. Like that was the fun of it because it was a show about stand-up.
Yes.
And as much as it's an individual experience, you and I both did laughs in Kirkland and had that guy pick us up from the airport like,
Dave, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So it's like we can relate to that and maybe put it in to the story.
And they were probably, at your mercy for that, right? Like, please share. I mean, did they... To even get the job, was it sit down and like tell me a hell gig? Or?
Mine was based off my packet, like or not my packet, my like I had a pilot script written just about my own life. That was like the first thing I wrote, and so that's sent. And then that was when Judd was like getting back into stand up, so that's how I met him. Even was him being at the Improv and at Largo, and you know bouncing around. I don't think he remembers this, but one time he bumped me at the store and he was nice enough to ask. You don't ask. If you're the famous person, you bump and that's that.
Yeah.
But he's too nice. And he was like, is it okay if I like go up before you? And I was like, how much are you going to do?
Oh.
I don't know if he remembers that or not. This was before the job. So obviously maybe not. And I don't think he's the type of person who holds a grudge. In fact, he's very forgiving. But like... Nothing I've done, but I've just seen him be gracious. So
yeah, that's so funny.
I said, how much time are you going to do to Judd Apatow?
He probably was like, so thrown off that you said that back, was like.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, 10? How much do you want me to do?
Yeah. Then he was just so sweet about it. Oh, man.
I think I had to get the Laugh Factory or something afterwards.
That's so funny.
But anyway, I still got the job.
Yeah. Yeah. That will.
The packet. And then also, like, this is the thing about stand-up. We didn't get into it to do acting gigs. Like, you never want to... We've seen actors start to do stand-up, and you can tell that that's why they're doing it, is to, like, get more work. So it's like, it has to be... In so many ways, stand-up's a beautiful way to show that you can write, act and that you're normal. I mean, sure. You're showing your personality.
Yeah, it's the best way.
So it's kind of like, and this is the worst way to put it, and everyone forgive me, but it is a mini audition. But you should never look at it like that.
Yeah.
But it just happens to be that because you're seeing someone and who they are. And typically that is who they are.
Which is why I was so impressed to go back to the compliment about you being so personal and poignant with your, real life encounters so early and quickly and brilliantly. And I was like, oh, man, like, you know what your show is by watching a 10-minute set, right?
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And to shift gears before
I'm just
going to
say,
up,
too, though, like, I that's, like, such a high compliment, and yeah, thank you very much.
Of course.
Because, like, you know, sometimes it comes at a cost, and you feel like, you have, like, a vulnerability hangover or something like that,
yes,
okay? So sometimes you have to learn the boundaries of what you share and what you don't,
yep,
share. But also, on the same note, you're not the opposite of me. You are personal. You do share things. But also, like, you know, I can watch you and appreciate you for what you are, too. And I'm not saying you need me to say this, but it's like, you know, I love your ability to improvise and be silly in your voices and your crowd work and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, to each your own. We each have our own style that we can, like, love in the other. And,
totally.
You know what I mean?
It is cool, though, to be able to, you know, and it's probably more so when you get inspired, you know, by anything in this business, which I feel like, at least for me, like, even watching a good movie, it's seldom that I'll see a performance where I'm like, oh, man, I got to take classes all day, every day. Like, just
right,
the overwhelming. And again, we see and consume so much comedy and are doing it so much that you can sometimes, you know, really be cautious with how much you want to take in, which then can
very
minimize
much
the opportunity to be inspired. So when you're a little more selective by watching the people you want to watch, you're kind of, I think, like, you know, now I'll watch full things of people like yourself that I will get inspired from because I enjoy it. And I'm watching with an eyes of, like, all in to where, like, it just, I'm like, man, it makes me want to be more personal, be tighter with my jokes. You know, you've got a real clever way of taking things away from what it is and bringing it back.
Thank you
and,
so much.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, that's okay. Thank you.
Yeah? Well, also, I feel it's cool that I feel like I've seen you now for a while, and I know you were doing it before I met you, but at a point to where I've been, like, you know.
Firsthand.
Seen, yeah. And then to culminate in the special. Girl Dowdy. Girl, cut. We'll edit this out. Stop. Cut one more time.
You know, that movie, Girl Dowdy.
Oh, my God. By the way, that Girl Daddy, HBO Max, streaming now. but outdoor shows, outdoor specials. You know people that are going to start to do that.
I saw the one at the Pasadena. It looked like Erica Rhodes and Daniel Webb. Those are the two I saw. They looked really cool from what I saw Erica and Daniel Webb's post.
Right. So that's Comedy Dynamics doing an hour special or...
I mean, whatever. I'll rip on them and not paying enough. Okay, so
1,000%. But the opportunity, I guess you want to.
Well, I understand that
risk reward. I don't, for sure.
But the
driving thing, though, but the car thing, that is what I don't. I wouldn't want to do that.
Me neither.
I see some of these socially distanced outdoor shows, even like Mark Norman doing stuff in a park or whatever. Like,
yeah,
people and I, have you done any clubs since any of this has happened or when it shut down?
I haven't performed since my special.
Where did I just
March
hear,
7th.
Where did I just hear you talk about that, actually? Or did you talk?
I might have just said it. Oh, in my Instagram story or something. Like, I'm doing a show this Saturday. I'm doing Paul and Matt's show outside for the first time. And
cool.
I just Instagram story, like, I haven't performed since my special.
No, was it? No, what? Fuck.
Maybe Tom and Fortune's podcast?
Yeah, maybe that, yeah.
Or Netflix is a joke
video? Yeah, because you, or maybe it was Whitney's, but about how you performed... And then you did, you had a weekend after your special to do, right? And then you did that.
And I didn't do it.
Didn't do it.
Yeah. So it was like a vestige of the tour because we didn't know when I was going to shoot. So I had all these dates lined up to run the special and a couple openings here and there. Like, will we get this? Because, you know, you have to bid for the theater.
Yep.
So it was like, if we don't get this, we'll do that. And I didn't want to cancel on the club like a month out or something.
That's nice.
But then coronavirus hit and I had to make that decision myself. And basically I'm texting all the comics across the country. Like, are you going up tonight? Are you going up tonight? I don't want to do the wrong thing.
Yep. I know people were canceling.
Yeah. So I canceled.
Wow.
St. Louis.
So, Wow, so you're nervous to perform first
yes.
time?
Yes. Yeah. I'm terrified.
It'll be fine. Sarah was out there when I was at Chappelle's camp. Yeah. I know you're tight with her.
Yeah.
And she said she was going up. It was her first time since whenever. And I was like, whoa. I was like starstruck. I was like, because I've done maybe, yeah. I did a club, two clubs in May in Arizona and Utah before Arizona became really chaotic. And then Minnesota at Acme about a month ago. One of the better experiences.
Okay.
Very spread out. Traveling I don't have an issue with because I mask it the whole time. I'm real safe. I'm wiping things. It's just, but the people were spread out. And it was just amazing to have the people. Like,
it's the energy,
I see these
exchange.
Driving things.
You have to have the energy exchange. There's the windshield. That's why Zoom's not working. The windshield behind you. I think it was Annie at Whitney's like little outdoor show that was making a joke about how I have to retrain my brain. Honking means you've done something bad. And that they're honking at these outdoor shows like it's a joke, like ha ha ha. And she it was a better joke than that. I'm just saying. She was saying
we'll
you have
cut
to
it out, we'll edit in what Annie said.
But cut to Annie.
Yeah. I don't even and the people that are doing the driving shows clearly got a cool following and when you're able to get that going to make money.
Mine's like just my mom like
you know? Yeah. And I haven't done it, so I don't know. Brad told me it was fun or whatever, but I just, for myself, I know myself, and I it was night and day, like, I don't know, if you, looking at them through the cars, and it's just, even doing the first Zoom show, I was like, oh, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, and it's still, but I was still seeing people.
Yeah.
And I was hearing laughter like that, even if it was a little... Whatever.
I did one and it made me nervous too. I noticed the Zoom show even. Yeah. But the car is like, here's my other thing. It's like, it's just tough right now dealing with the coronavirus. I've said this before in a podcast, but it's like, we all used to do at midnight. We used to get attacked on Twitter after like, well, I came up with that hashtag first. It's like this coronavirus for comics is going to be a challenge. Yep. The quarantine, because it's like, we've all been given a topic. Thousands of comics are writing about this. So how are you going to be original? And that's actually can be sort of paralyzing.
Yeah.
So you obviously have to trust in yourself that you're going to make it as original as you possibly can. But that's something that's also stopped me where I'm like, do we need another person talking about the, you know, as Naomi Ekperigin would say, the Coco?
Yeah.
She also calls it the pandemic.
It's really fun.
Her dailies are very funny. Anyway.
Who is this again?
Naomi Ekperigin.
Who's that?
She, I follow her at Black Triss.
Done.
She's very funny.
Do you have accounts that you follow and they're your daily like?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. So I'm saying like, this is one big at midnight prompt that we're going to get attacked for all being the same.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm watching her and it's hilarious. So.
Yeah. Are you writing, is your set consisting of
I have stuff? No set.
Yeah. So you're just going to wing it.
Yeah, I have no set. Cool. I don't know. I'm going to have to probably pull a story that got cut from the special and start running that again.
Cool.
I have to like start somewhere, but yeah, trust that I've written nothing.
Do you not even feel like you want to do it because you're like, where am I? Because that's the thing too. When I'm doing Helium in September, and then after that, I don't know, and I'm kind of just deciding. And my dad lives up there, so that was the other excuse. And I love the club, but same. I was like, yeah, and I was like, but you feel that start and stop of like, I was like, if I don't have some things on the horizon like that, then I won't push myself to kind of, and I think we're both at a point to where we're conditioned to just seeing our lives in the world in a way where something happens and it triggers something and you're making note here and there and you're always going to be doing that. But to have an actual place where I'm going to have to do it, even like at Acme, I was like, oh, I was there a year ago. And I was like, if I pick that up and it was 2 months out and I was like, I'll really buckle down and write more than I have been, just kind of double time it. And it was, and I felt good because I had a lot more stuff to talk about and so that having that little benchmark, but if you don't have that, and even after September, I'm going to be like probably back to a slower pace of like, all right, well, what am I writing a bunch of jokes to do it? And that's why the idea of like, I would love to do an outdoor special.
Maybe even home in a backyard. I mean, that might be your best option. Like Chappelle style in that it's maybe in Seattle or something.
Whoa.
Like an outdoor, something look of an outdoor like wedding, that. Essentially.
Because they crush, I mean, it's... The stage, and it was a big field that was real spread out. I mean, everything was just first class, and that is seems like obviously weather will get in the way in some places coming up, but that seems like the safe.
I mean, I was just gonna say, like, I'm not kidding. It just hit me yesterday where I was like, oh, these New York outdoor shows are short-lived.
Yep.
Unless they get heating lamps.
Yep.
I mean.
Wow, yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I didn't think that far ahead where I was like, New York's doing good. And I was like, oh, they're about to have a winter.
Yeah.
Winter is coming. I mean, it is. It's freaking, we're in a weird time.
Yeah.
And then also it's like you're saying, you're in a place where you're building, okay? But what do I have to build for and why? Because that sounds so negative, but I'm just saying like, it depends on when you see a comic. If you saw me in Seattle right before I filmed this, you're like, that comic's amazing. I love her. Because I was about to film a special. If you see me Saturday, you're going to be like, is she good at comedy? Unless I'm repeating stuff from my special, which is fine, but I barely remember it. And I wrote it.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I mean, I did the Sklar's Zoom show and I was having trouble. Like, as it's coming, you're like, am I going to remember this bit that I wrote?
Whoa.
It's so weird. I don't know.
Do you miss concerts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What do you miss the most? Make it sad and then we'll wrap this up. Oh, I do miss my mom, too.
I know.
And your mom.
I do miss your mom as well.
Yeah.
And I miss my family. That's the main thing. The kids are growing up so fast, it feels. Yeah. It's been like 5 months since I've seen them now.
Any thoughts to just go back there and do what some people are doing?
I might. I mean, I'm from Dayton, so I could maybe try to hit up Chappelle and...
Oh, yeah.
Go there and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I flew into.
Yeah, I'm from there.
So... That's
Of
rad.
Course, everybody's texting me, like, when are you coming to Camp Chappelle? I'm like... I'm not friends with him. I don't know when I'm coming.
I know his tour manager real well, and I could, you know, I'm sure also you, also Sarah.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm not someone who like loves to. I don't really ask favors, and so it's not like I don't know.
If you went home and you were out there,
it would be weird of me not to be like, "Hi, I'm a comic. Can I come by or something?"
And
I guess.
It's Sarah's blessing. I mean, like, yeah. You know, I'd put a stamp on there for you.
Yeah,
which
you.
I don't know what that would do. But
yeah, what do you miss most?
Family. I was, you know, up in Seattle for a little bit and already back and already withdrawals just because, especially with folks getting older, I just want to soak up the time. And I've always wanted to go back for an extended period. So now it's like,
I
have no reason to not.
I'm with you on that.
And can do, you know, all my VO stuff from anywhere. But I still, there's something about being here that I love, but I feel like the energy shifted. So I don't feel like this. Real push like I did being here.
Right.
And I almost get it more so being not here because, you know, also I don't feel like I can live normal life here. And even up in Washington where the weather's great, and you'll get a winter up there too, but it just was a little more, I just felt slower and chiller and really just having family at the disposal made me feel like I had more of a purpose right now.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I miss Saved by the Bell, the college years. That was a great show. It was a great theme song. I don't know.
I hear you on that. It is like, you know, when you're here, if you stay for a holiday, especially your early years in LA, if you don't have the money to go home, it does feel like a ghost town. And I think people have left in some ways because they can't afford to live here if they're pursuing a dream.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also... As you age as a comic in general and you're aging in life and, you know, you're approaching a new chapter of your life with your fiance, it's like, you know, where do I want to be and what's most fulfilling, where I'm going to be happiest? And I don't know. So, like, there is part of me that's also considering maybe, like you're saying, going back home. But
a little bit.
It's an interesting time for everybody. I'm thankful to be able to stay. If this happened to me when I first moved here, I would already be home.
Yeah, that's happening. That's And I don't really.
So I'm very. That's another thing I'm cognizant of. I've worked hard for it, but my comfortability right now, and of course I'm doing what I can to, you know, check in on my friends and stuff, and donate to things I care about. I'm not over here a millionaire. I'm just saying I can weather this right now. So, and if you think about it too, it's like you work for years without pay to get a special, ideally.
Yeah.
So if you have a special year, then you got paid for your special.
Yep.
But. The other years you didn't get paid for your special.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I'm just saying I happened to be in a place that was convenient, but, you know, I wasn't just about to record.
Right.
Chris Redd, Moses Storm, those guys were.
Just about to do it?
Yeah.
Fuck.
This is getting depressing, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's hard for people who work.
Everyone's
for
having
for years.
To adjust on every front.
Yeah.
But, and you know, and when you feel like, fuck, I just need a break. Well. head on over to HBO Max. Check out Beth Stelling's Girl Daddy special. It's so fucking good.
Thank you.
You're so funny. Beth, we end every episode now by us coming up with a theme song for the show. Just a cappella beatbox style. And it doesn't have to make it, we can just kind of flow off each other. And by the way, by me saying we end every episode, this is the first time we're going to do it. I just thought of it. We might have this carry over to the next ep, or this might live and die right here. So just because we came in so musically
connected. We did. Connected, it was musically charged.
Yeah. Musically charged. Is that when a veteran, fuck, what was it?
Veteran extras.
Veteran extras. That's their single.
Can I get a suggestion?
Charmin. Call back.
All night long. All night.
Could they get Lionel? Night. Could they get Lionel to do a Charmin commercial real quick?
Yeah.
Never. He's so much.
No, gosh. I freaking got into American Idol because of Lionel.
He's great.
Oh my gosh, is he great?
He's unreal.
And Luke Bryan grew on me.
Yeah?
Yeah, the guy who's with the other host.
Yeah. Katy Perry's in there just being cuckoo for Katy Perry. Yeah. I mean, she like, they did a Disney episode once, which was cool because they were singing all Disney songs.
Yeah.
But she was dressed as one of the princesses. I don't think the other guys were. I think Lionel Richie was like, what princess are you? I don't do voices, but he was like, who are you supposed to be? And
she was dressed like a salt shaker, I think, the week before. So
yeah, it was just extravagant. And Luke Bryan was like, it's fucking, you know, I didn't get it. Supposed to do that. And he was being all charming, and but she was just out there.
Yeah,
all
right. She really was. Okay.
Here we go.
Boom, boom,
boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom.
It's about last night. You gave me. Are we rapping?
Oh, are we? Yeah.
You gave me a fright. This is more like spoken
word. By the way, the best raps always include someone mid rap going, "Are we rapping?"
Please forgive me.
Don't know what, where that lyric lands in the song, but that's how we're ending.
Please forgive me.
That's like a Ani DeFranco, Alanis.
Just got hot.
Please forgive me.
I can't. It's part of a song. It's coming back to me. For what I say and do, or something like that. Please forgive me. I can't stop loving you.
On the night, pain I'll send on you. Please forgive me. I can't stop loving you. Is that Shania Twain? Who is that?
I don't even know.
Martina McBride?
You've got the sneaky good voice. It's you and Brent Morin. Like, you'll go up there and just be like, I don't know, like, make some bit. And then you're like, and we're like, what the fuck? They're hot, too? This is annoying.
I'll take a teaspoon,
you
or whatever
bastards.
It was. Beth Stelling, Girl Daddy, HBO Max. I love you so much. Thanks for being here.
Yes. I don't know where this came from. I've been doing this on this emoji. Which I thought was
I've been
thank
doing, that's
you.
That's like my main emoji.
But I think it's thank you and
blessings.
Bless.
Appreciate you, right?
Yeah,
appreciate you.
And a little zip zap zap.
Turn the mics back on.